Hey friends, what's going on? You are now listening to the TMJ Show, the MD Journey Show, an entire podcast dedicated to helping students just like you succeed on their medical journey, but doing it with less stress. My name is Laksh, I'm an internal medicine physician, and I have the pleasure of being your humble host to help you on your medical journey. Let's get started with today's episode. All right, friends, welcome to another episode. Today is going to be a fun episode because we are completely transitioning how we do this podcast and this Q&A show. Often in the past, the podcast has kind of been a combination of our YouTube videos turned into a podcast in case any of you guys want to just listen to the audio version. And not saying that didn't work or that we won't do this, but I kind of want to be able to just go off the cuff and answer some of your questions and use that as what the whole purpose of the platform of the podcast is. I'm hoping that will allow me to be a little bit more free with our content and more specifically be able to get you guys the very personalized questions and explanations and advice that you're looking for. So we're going to start our Q&A show and actually make it a Q&A show. And so in the bottom of this podcast, I will go ahead and link kind of a form that you can fill out that myself and the team can look at. And if there's questions that I feel like can go ahead and extrapolate to a majority of the audience, then we'll go ahead and record it for both you as well as the general public for the MD journey. So today's topics is going to be surrounded around step two, resume building, getting into residency, as well as kind of finding that balance when you have a busy life. And this comes from one of our listeners who is prepping to take step two in the context. And I'll give you kind of a context each question because there's a little bit more detail that this person provides. But the bottom line is this person wants to get a good step two score. Their baseline score has not been as stellar as they'd like. But they also have a busy life with the wife and now two kids. And so the question is, how do you balance all that without, you know, getting stressed out, rightfully so? So let's break down each one. So the first question is, currently studying for step two. I would like to score in the 240s, but my baseline NBME did really poorly at 180. Not sure if it's poor retention or baseline foundation or poor focus. So the question is, what should you do, especially when you have a busy life with two kids? This person has a 7-month-old and a 2-year-old. And so I can definitely resonate with that. I have a 6-month-old as the making of this episode with my daughter. And so trying to think of studying for a board exam is definitely nerve-wracking. So the advice that I would give for anyone studying for a board exam, specifically step two, as you guys listen to this and understand that that's probably going to be the most important exam that we take out of the 3 USMLEs going forward now that step one is pass-fail. And that's just because, one, it's more clinical. Two, it's one of the two tests now that still have a score. And three, that's going to be the score that residency programs actually have in their repertoire to actually be able to extrapolate which students are going to be more competitive, which students are better test takers. And sometimes that's just a better risk of taking the student with a higher score on step two versus somebody who may have struggled. So you want to make sure you do really well. Now, general advice for studying for board exams like step two is that because it's so clinically focused, ideally you will learn through your first initial NBMEs of how strong your foundation is and how good you did on your rotations based off of those scores. So my experience when I was taking step two, a lot of the questions I had seen before because I had to use resources like UWorld to study for my shelf exams at the end of those clinical rotations. And so now when I was taking those same questions again and those leftover questions in UWorld to study for step two, a lot of them seemed like I had seen them before. So it wasn't like as nerve-wracking as studying for something like step one where everything just feels like a piece of detail you've never learned in your life. And so there is a good part that if you're getting a low score, a low baseline, is that perhaps your foundation is not quite great there. And so for that, my advice would be is continuing to create a calendar where you focus on those topics that lower your scores more than others, right? So if you struggled with OB-GYN more than you did internal medicine, then perhaps on a weekly schedule, you give yourself blocks where you're doing OB-GYN essentially every other day. You may do a morning session where you're doing questions of OB-GYN, and then the next day, maybe the afternoon session that has OB-GYN. That way you're focused on those. Or if you have two equally bad topics, maybe you're terrible at psychiatry and surgery, then those are the rotations that you would see more often in your roundup compared to the rotations that you may have done really well on. Now, if everything's equally bad, and that just makes it really easy, is just go ahead and start from one rotation of one topic and go to the next one. I wasn't really big on using something like text sources for studying for step two. And that's mainly just because the questions usually will do a good enough job, plus some experience that you ideally have had on your rotations of getting there. Now, obviously, if you took that NBME and it felt like it was just, you know, bad retention, bad focus, you can definitely take another NBME or just take two or three UWorld blocks on random one after another and just kind of see how you do percentage-wise. If you're getting below 50%, then that's a sign that you just have poor foundation. If you're getting in that 60% on most of the questions or most of the blocks, then maybe it's one topic that's giving you a little bit more trouble than the others. So that's my general approach. The second thing about step two is that usually you don't have as much just in terms of time to study for it. And so you really have to have a very simplified way of how you approach it. So for me, I picked one resource, which I think was like online MedEd at the time that I was studying, because they had good enough videos, they had good enough notes. So I got it got the job done. Now, the second thing that you have to focus on is your question source. I would just pick UWorld to make it very simple. And the third one is to have a way to review your mistakes. And so for me, it was very simple. I would take all the questions that I missed, anything I guessed correctly on. I would definitely mark it in UWorld so I can come back to those questions later. But I would also turn kind of the main idea why I missed a question into an Anki card. And I would start my days with this Anki session in the morning. I would go ahead and do that at the end of my study session. And that was kind of my simple study strategy. I would come into the library. I would do maybe 20 or 30 minutes of the Anki questions that I missed. I would then go ahead and do a few blocks depending on how much I wanted to dedicate for that day. So usually it was about doing two or three blocks in a day, just building that stamina. And at the very end, I would come back and do another round of 20 to 30 minutes of those Anki cards that I had missed while obviously adding the questions that I missed for that day. So that was kind of my simple approach, and hopefully that helps you with step two. There's tons of videos that we made on YouTube channel with a playlist of things that you can check out on how to improve your step two score. Now, the next question is how to increase your retention so that by the time that you're resident, you'll have that strong foundation to essentially be a good doctor and make those good clinical diagnoses. Some of the answer to this is that you just have to take the pressure off yourself. Often we try to become as good of a student so that way, you know, naturally it makes sense that you'll be a better doctor then. But then we sometimes get too hyper-focused on the details. You may try to memorize the little tiny details of how a medication works or enzymes, et cetera. And really, the practice of being a good clinician, of good making good differential diagnoses and treating patients, really comes down to pattern recognition. That means that you have to be able to see enough patients with that disease, that history, that physical exam findings, that set of labs and imaging, and saying, like, these are likely the things that are going on, and based off of that, these are likely the things that are going to help them improve the best. And that comes with experience. And so really taking some pressure off yourself and just giving your opportunities to get that pattern recognition in through practice questions, through seeing patients on your rotations. There are other cool apps that you can use if you really want to get some practice, things like Human DX app, which is open for people in the medical field. And essentially you can see other case reports that people have done and you get to walk yourself through the differential diagnoses and what labs and tests you want to order. Now, the third question is what type of things I can do now to keep on resume building, while essentially prepping for step two. It seems like this person's a little concerned that maybe they don't want to look like they've had too much time off to study for step two, and maybe people will think that you were just chilling or hanging out. And reality is that no residency program is going month to month through your medical experience and saying, what were you doing at this point? Obviously, if you have something longer, like a gap year or working in a different job, like I worked as a hospitalist before I applied to fellowship. I took a year off before I applied to medical school, working as a applied behavioral analysis therapist, so an ABA therapist. And so those are experiences where you want to make sure that you're not taking that much time just hanging out. But if you're taking 2 months to do research or to go on vacation as a fourth year medical student, that is completely fine. No one is going to be highlighting and hyper-focusing on all of those things. But if you want to build your resume, ask yourself, well, you know, based off the specialty that you want to go into, where you feel like the weakest part of your application is. So if you feel like clinically you don't have the letters that you're going to need by the time that you apply for residency, then focus on maybe building some relationships with faculty who are at your institution so that way you can get some good letter recommendations at that time. If you feel like research is something you're lacking, then think about maybe some projects that you can start working on so you can add those to your resume. They don't have to be done by the time that you're done with medical school or by the time you're applying, but the fact that you're working on these projects that may be interesting is a good start. But ask yourself where the checklist is, things completely missing, and start with those first. And perhaps you're at the point where you're not exactly even sure what you want to do. This is a great time for you to say, maybe I can use that time, or I'm not studying for step two. This person seems like they have like 2 or 3 months and they're going to use one or two of them to study for their exam, and the rest of it may be used for other things. Using that extra time to build on other electives or explore your career paths is completely fine. To kind of give you some context, when I took my step two, I think I went on vacation the month after, or worked at a diabetes camp as kind of like a part-time job in medical school. So no one really cares or gets hyper-focused. Ask yourself where you would want to spend that time. That usually will tell you kind of if you're nervous about an unfilled application because there's stuff missing or you have gaps. In those cases, try to fill the one that you think is the most concerning, or ask your mentors which ones you feel like is the most lacking in your application. Start with that. And otherwise, sometimes hanging out is completely fine. And their final question is that, again, this person has a wife and kids, and so being really busy, they feel like their sleep quality has declined. And waking up early and staying up late, and wondering how that is likely affecting their retention, and feeling like that may have making their brain a little bit foggy, what to do about sleep. So I'm definitely not the best proponent of having adequate sleep. I know I've had my struggles in medical school. But one thing that I would definitely recommend is just coming up with a routine where you're not, all right, sorry about that, guys. I actually had to step away, as you can probably hear my daughter crying in the background because somebody clearly didn't get very much sleep, just fitting with this question. But to summarize how I think about sleep now, as I'm busy, especially with a dad, very similar to the student, is I try to not go to bed finishing the role that I'm in. So right now I'm a fellow, I'm a physician, but when I was a medical student, I tried not to go to bed with the last task I was doing being school related. And that helped me have a little bit of a buffer, even though it was 30 minutes to an hour. My goal was at least an hour and a half because it felt like I had a little bit of control at the end of my day. Didn't always happen. But doing this allows you to essentially be able to create that night routine of saying, I'm going to get sleepy and I'm going to go to bed at whatever time. In terms of getting that adequate amount of hours of sleep, I would say 6.5 hours to 7 to even 8, if you're able to as a student, working backwards works great. When you ask yourself what time you want to wake up, because that usually is the people who are struggling to get the most adequate amount of sleep are also pretty ambitious about when they want to wake up because they're just trying to get so much done. And so working backwards, saying, I want to wake up at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and then figuring out what your 6 to 8 hour mark is. So if you're trying to wake up at 5:30, for example, because you have a busy family and you're trying to get some work done before school and before everyone wakes up, then, you know, working backwards, saying that if you're wanting your 7 hours of sleep, that means you will probably have to be going to bed around 10:30 in order to be able to wake up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock. In doing so, then you understand like what your night time routine should start, saying I want an hour before my bedtime to be able to do a routine that just involves breaking away from schoolwork, breaking away from my phone, perhaps getting some stretching, enjoying some time with your family. And that may start around 9 or 9:30. And so having that routine allows you to get that adequate amount of sleep more often than not. It's not always going to happen, but again, it's a part of building a routine. And then sometimes it's also okay of taking the L in the mornings, realizing that maybe you didn't get the best quality of sleep because your 7 month old is crying, or you just weren't able to fall to bed on time, or maybe you're somebody who struggles staying asleep, which is definitely a common problem among students who are just so busy and stressed out. Sometimes you wake up at 5 or whatever time you intended and saying, today I'm going to prioritize my rest, and then I'm going to move on to the next thing. And part of that starts with having your first task of the day not being so demanding or being so mandatory, but actually being a benefit if you get to do it. So if you're doing flashcards in the morning, it may not be the worst thing if you miss your flashcard session. It may be a worse thing if you miss your UWorld session if you're studying for step two. And so just thinking about prioritizing what type of things you miss. This morning, my daughter, for example, wanted to go ahead and cry from 1 to 2:30. Because her teeth are bothering her, she's teething. And so while I had a run planned before I went to work and recorded this episode for you guys, there's no way that I would be able to get the combination of adequate sleep and be able to do a run and then show up for work. So I went ahead and just forego the run and slept in a little bit. And doing so, again, allows you to have balance and catch up on whatever sleep you can. So that's kind of my answers to all these questions. Hopefully it was helpful. And hopefully you guys enjoyed this kind of free form format of the podcast, of being able to answer your questions and kind of getting a little bit more personalized. So if you guys are interested in asking a question and getting my own personalized response and advice on how I would approach it, again, there'll be a form linked down below that myself and the team will be able to look at. If you're interested in getting more step-by-step, very specific, if you're interested in even more step-by-step ways that we can help you on your medical journey, two things that I would recommend checking out. The first one is our Med School Blueprint. This is essentially a bundle of everything that I've ever made at our time here at the MD Journey, talking about our study courses, our step-by-step productivities, how to study for board exams, you name it. And I think it's just easier if you go ahead and check the link down below and see the reviews that people have left over the past 7 years. So anything that we've ever made, anything we're ever creating is all going to be included in this. It's our one main flagship platform in terms of helping you on your medical journey. And we do that at a very steep discount. So hopefully you guys enjoy it if you're interested. And the last thing is that if you really want that one-on-one help with myself and our team, specifically for things like how do I study better and get the grades that I want, then we do offer coaching on a first come, first serve basis. So if you're interested in learning more about what that process looks like, what the results of our students have been in the past, go ahead and check down below. And if you're interested, definitely consider applying. So that way we can give you a spot if we have one open. But as always, my friends, hopefully this episode, this platform, this format was helpful on your journey. If you guys enjoyed this, then go ahead and go to your favorite podcast listening platform, specifically if you can on Apple Podcasts or on iTunes, and leaving an honest review. That definitely just helps the podcast get in front of more people. It helps me stay encouraged to record more podcast episodes. And so if you guys enjoy this, just make sure that whatever platform you're listening to, you leave a review. And ideally, if you can take a second and leave it on iTunes, that'd be super, super helpful. But as always, my friends, hopefully we were a little help to you guys on your journey. And thanks for, as always, being a part of mine. And I'll see you guys in the next one. Peace. Hey, friends, hopefully you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you did enjoy it and want to make sure you don't miss out on future episodes, and definitely consider hitting that like and subscribe button on your favorite podcast listening platform. And if you want a little bit of extra bounty points, we'd love it if you leave an honest review on iTunes to help the channel and the mission of the MD Journey grow. And also, by the way, if you're interested in getting that unfair advantage in medical school and avoiding the most common mistakes that myself and other medical students have made, definitely check out our most popular programs that we have for you here at the MD Journey, including the Med School Domination Bundle, as well as our personalized one-on-one coaching programs, which will be linked down below. But as always, friends, thank you for joining me on my journey. Hopefully that was a little help to you guys on yours. I'll see you guys in the next one. Take care, my friends.